What if kids wrote the Bible? You know, some elementary school kids were asked some questions about the Old and New Testament. And the following statements about the Bible were written by these children. The first book of the Bible is called Guinness. God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off. Some child said, Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Samson slayed the Philistines with the Acts of the Apostles. Afterwards, Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. That was Mount Sinai. Hopefully we're not saying, what's wrong with that? But the first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. You know, the son standing still, in case you're wondering. Okay. David was a Hebrew king who was skilled at playing a lyre. He fought the Finkelsteins. Solomon had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. The people who followed the Lord were called the 12 decibels. And Christians only have one spouse. This is called monopoly. They got to appreciate their attempts to come up with, you know, to answer the different questions correctly. But when all is said and done, you got to bless their little hearts. You know, today we're going to finish the book of Ecclesiastes by looking at chapter 12. You can turn your Bible there with me. And we're going to kind of right now recap kind of what we've been looking at this fall semester. You know, what we've learned from the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, we talked about how it's not what you know, but who you know. That what you know is meaningless without God. We also looked at how Solomon pursued and acquired many things in his life. Wisdom, riches, possessions, popularity. But only to learn that what he acquired did not lead to true happiness or fulfillment, because it could only be found in God. Solomon learned that man is never able to arrive, but always in a state of emptiness and striving and chasing after the wind without God. We also looked at how we need to have the right perspective and right balance when it comes to work. We also talked about what time is it? And now it's time to know God in whatever stage of life we are in. We talked about how we need to stand in awe of God and show him reverence and respect. We talked about how we need to have the right perspective towards wealth, because, you know, when all of a sudden now we can't take it with us. The reality is that we all die. And how important it is for us to live with the end in mind. We talked about how important it is to choose wisely, that we must choose what is better, not what is more comfortable, more convenient, or what's more familiar. We learned that 1 + 1 equals survival, and how important it is we need friends, and we need to be a friend to support one another in life. And last week we talked about how we need to remember our Creator. Whether it be in the days of our youth, remember Him before trouble comes, and throughout the rest of our life, we need to remember our Creator. And so today we're going to continue as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 9. It says, "Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The word of the wise are like goads, their collective sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study, where is the body? Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we do thank You so much that You created each and every one of us. Father, we thank You so much that You love us, that, Father, we have a special place in Your heart, and that, Father, You watch over us, You bless us, and, Father, You work in our lives to shape us into the character of Your Son. And, Father, we do pray that, Father, as we're here today, that, Father, we could put off the worries that may be filled in our hearts. Father, we could put off the things that we have to take care of later today. And that, Father, we would open our hearts to Your Word. And that, Father, we allow Your Spirit to speak to us so that, Father, we can hear exactly what You want us to hear. Father, thank You so much for the plans that You have for our life. Help us, God, to always seek You, to always depend on You, to always walk humbly with You, so that, Father, we can learn how we need to live our lives, so that, Father, we can learn how to deal with challenges that we face, so that, Father, one day, Father, when we do come before You, that, Father, we can stand confident before You, Father, because of the life that we've lived. Father, thank You again that we're able to be here this morning. Father, please let Your Spirit work through me as I preach Your Word here today. Father, please be with us again as we study Your Word. We pray that You work powerfully in each and every one of our hearts, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the title of today's lesson is called The Duty of Man. The Duty of Man. As the book of Ecclesiastes finishes, we see that things are simplified for us. And so we see that the only sensible and true way to live is to fear God and to keep His commands, which means to live a life of obedience to God. It says, "For this is the whole duty of man, to fear God, keep His commands." You know, one translation, The Message, it says, "Fear God, do what He tells you, that's it." It's pretty blunt. Fear God, do what He tells you, that's it. Another translation, The Amplified, it says, "All has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is, and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of His creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment of all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man." You know why we need to fear God and obey His commands? But one, we see it's the purpose of God's creation. It is the very purpose of God's creation. It is the purpose for each and every one of us here this morning to fear God and to obey His commands. It is the foundation of all happiness. It is the foundation in order for us to build our lives. The foundation of our lives should not be pleasure, riches, wisdom, achievement. The foundation of our life should be God's commands. You know, it gives us guidance for our life, what to avoid, what to do, but also what we can expect in the future, but also how to adjust in life circumstances. Because there are many different circumstances we face in life. But the Bible teaches us how we can be able to deal with those different circumstances that we do face. And also because God will bring every deed into judgment. That we will be judged according to how we've lived our life. And it says every deed we will be held accountable for. So that's why we should fear God and we should keep His commandments. You know, to fear God, you know, it's often seen as a negative word, fear itself, rather than an inspiring word. But a healthy fear of God is something positive. You know, you can write down in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, it says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. You know, we need to, again, we need to have a respect, reverence towards God, a deep respect, admiration, hold Him in high regard. But we also need to fear God. And fear can be a deterrent when it is used the right way. You know, punishment as a deterrent can prevent us from doing wrong. You know, all of us at some point, whether we're a teen or a preteen and we have our parents here with us, you know, all of us have been, maybe in terms of there are certain rules that were expected or else it would be followed up by punishment if you did not do it. You know, becoming a Christian for fear of going to hell is a good reason to get you started. But as we mature, heaven, love, appreciation is what is motivating us and moving us forward. But I'll tell you, fear can be a very good deterrent. You know, you think about the laws that are put in place. You know, what will happen if you break the law? So therefore, it stops people from committing offenses. You think about, again, with your parents or your teachers. You know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this because if I don't, this is what is going to happen. You know, I remember, it's clear as day, I remember when I was a teenager, me and a friend were looking for something to do, so we decided to go to this store down the street. It was actually Kmart. And some of you wonder, Kmart? What's Kmart? You know, we used to have it here, and you know what? Hey, where we were living, that's where we went to go buy stuff. Friend of mine, we were looking for something to do, so we decided to go to the store, and we were kind of looking around. All of a sudden, I noticed that he's putting something in his coat. And so he was taking this DVD. Not a DVD, it was something to play a game. So he put in his coat, and I realized, you know, he's stealing something. And so at that time, I was like, you know, I wasn't into stealing. I was like, okay, we're just going to the store just to go and, you know, hey, let's just go and maybe look around and maybe buy some stuff. He put in his coat, and then he started running. And so for me, I was like, okay, well, let me run with him. And so again, I was young, I was unwise. What I should have done was probably go a different direction. So we're running and running. I'm running to catch up to him. Hey, wait for me. And so we get to the door, and all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, you took that. He's like, yeah, I took it because I wanted it. All of a sudden, I feel this hand on my shoulder. And it was the Kmart security. The Kmart security came, and I was telling the guy, hey, you know what? I didn't take it. He took it. But you know what? You're with him. So you know what? You got to come with me. And so already in my mind, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So we go there. He puts us in this room, a very small room at that. And so now he's calling the cops. And I'm like, don't call the cops. And so he calls the cops, and then finally the cops come and have a good talk with us. And so my friend, you know, he said, well, you know, he didn't have anything to do with it. It was just me. I'm the one who took it. He's like, well, you know what? Still, you guys were together. So you guys are minors. So I got to bring you guys home. So I was like, okay, I'll go home. So then we're driving home. We pull up into the parking lot. And he's telling us, you know, we've got to go. And I have to come in and explain things to your parents. And I'm already like, okay, now I just showed up in a police car. You know, what's going to happen? So he's like, okay, we got to go. So while I'm sitting in the back of the police car, the thought going through my mind is, you know what? It might be safer for me to stay in this police car. It might be safer for me to stay in this police car than to go and tell my mom what happened. You know, my mom was very, you know, she understood the situation. Of course, I didn't hang out with this guy ever again. But I'll tell you, fear was a deterrent. And ever since, my young teens, never seen the back of a police car again in my life. I'll tell you, fear, it serves as a deterrent. Whether it be with the law, whether it be with your parents trying to get you to not do things. Why? Because it protects us. Because your parents, if they have certain rules, certain expectations, because it's all out of love. The same way when it comes to God. God has different commands because he wants to protect us and because he loves us and wants what's best for us. You know, fear of God also keeps us mindful. Mindful that, you know what, there is a judgment to come. You know, it says, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. You know, life is not about the here and now. And when we looked at, when we examined Solomon's life, it was all about the here and now. But there's more than the here and now. That there is a life beyond this life. But we will all face judgment for how we lived our day-to-day life. And the fear of God should keep us mindful of that. That life is not just about the here and now, that there is judgment and there is a life to come. So therefore, we need to keep his commands. And you know what? Keep his commandments. There are more than 10 commandments. When we read the scripture, there's more than 10 commandments. You know, this Sunday school teacher was discussing with her class the 10 commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. And after explaining the commandments, to honor thy father and mother. She asked if there was a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters. Without missing a beat, one little boy stood up and said, thou shalt not kill? You know, hopefully your sibling relationships are much better than that. You know, sometimes you want to, you know, they might give you a hard time, and sometimes you might want to, you know, put them in a headlock and that kind of stuff. But, again, there are commands as to how we need to treat our siblings. But there are commands on how we need to relate to one another, commands on how we need to relate to God and also relate to one another. That we are to keep the commands. We are to obey them. It needs to shape how we live our life. It needs to shape your choices in life. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're a college student, the commands of God need to shape your decisions in life. We need to keep his commandments. That means we need to obey. You know what obedience is not? Obedience is not obeying only when you see others doing it. That's not true obedience. Obedience is not when you see others, you obey only when you see others doing it. You know, that is so ingrained in us from a very young age. You know, you think about maybe you did something because your friend did it. And maybe your mom or dad say, you know what? Why did you do that? Well, because so-and-so did it. But then they mention it to you how, you know, you need to think for yourself, not do what other people are doing. Think for yourself. That what other people are doing, it's not always right. But it's in us from such a young age to do the things that other people are doing. But obedience is not based on, you know, if other people are doing it, then I'm going to do it. Obedience is about obeying the commands of God. That our love and obedience should not be dependent on what others are doing or what others are not doing. That our motivation should not be the acts of men. You know, at times we can keep our standards on par with what man is doing as opposed to what God is calling us to. That we might treat other people based on how they treat us as opposed to how God wants us to treat them. You know, if you're a spouse, you may treat your spouse based on maybe how you're feeling at that time, or maybe they've done something to you, you want to do something back to them. And God is not in the picture. Well, it is about obeying God and treating that person the way that God expects you to treat them. But whether we do different things until we obey the commands that make us feel good. You know, it's easy to just obey the commands that make us feel good. And if we look through the commands in the scripture, there are commands we can look and go, you know what? These commands, you know, I feel good when I do these commands. But on the other hand, these commands, I don't like doing it because maybe it scares me. Maybe I have to humble myself to do it. So I'll kind of go with these commands because I get a good feeling from it. As opposed to, you know, when I'm all said and done, I need to obey the commands of God. Where it's not about a feel-good obedience. It's not about I'm going to, kind of like the cafeteria, kind of pick and choose what I want to obey. It is about obeying, that's it, the commands of God. How we feel about it doesn't really matter because the end result is obedience. The end result is not, well, how I feel about it. The end result is obedience to God. You know, obeying the commands should not be about what we believe is beneficial and works in our best interest. Because the thing with that is there are commands that God has for us to obey that we're not always going to believe that works in my best interest. Especially when there may be unfavorable consequences that come with the decision that we make. God might call us to do something, whether it be to go share our faith, whether it be to go serve people, whether it be to make him known here or there. Make a decision to become a Christian. And we go, you know what? I'm not sure how my friends are going to feel about me being a Christian. I'm not sure how my friends are going to feel about me talking about Jesus. So you know what? That's not going to work in my best interest. So therefore, I'm not going to obey the commands of God. Or because, you know, it's going to cost me pain, sacrifice, time, emotion. So let me just go with the commands that I really work to my best interest. You know, I'll come to church. I feel good coming to church. Sing. I enjoy singing and worshiping to God. But if we're not careful, our devotion to God, our obedience to God, can be left to Sunday morning coming to church. You know, obedience also does not equal being religious. You know, as we get older, we can lose the commitment to obedience. As we get older as a Christian, we can lose the commitment to obedience we once possessed first in our life. You know, as we grow older as Christian, obedience is often the area that gets neglected. Think about that. It's often, as we grow older, it's often the area that gets neglected. Because it's very easy to replace old worldly actions with new religious ones. But we can feel that these religious actions replace the necessity of obedience. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You can turn there, but I'm going to read it. It says, do not. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 16. It says, do not be over righteous, neither be over wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. You know, Solomon here examines those who are excessively righteous, meaning self-righteous. Self-righteous and judgmental. And also talks about those who are wicked and pursuing evil. You know, you think about when we were young Christians, you know, our sin is right before us. We see our sin, it's right before us, and we're willing to obey because we understand what God has done for us. Our sin is right before us because we've looked at the cross. And that's all we're concerned about in our life as a Christian, is changing and dealing with our own sin. The problem happens is when we grow older as a Christian, and if we become religious, it's very easy to become religious and to be self-righteous, where we see our sin less, and we see other people sin more. Where we expect more of others and less of ourselves. Where we might expect people around us to be perfect. And reality is, you know what, to be honest, we are not the perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect church. Because if there was a perfect church, none of us would be in it. We got to make sure that we have a heart of obedience and a heart of humility towards God. Because it's very easy to become self-righteous, critical, and lack humility. And to obey God in humility, walking humbly before God. You know, what does obedience look like? You know, when we think about obedience, we think about Jesus. That you think about Jesus, the world was created through Jesus. And he was the Son of God. Yet Jesus was not exempt from obeying his Father. You think about Jesus, everything created through him, he was not exempt from obeying his Father. That Jesus did everything that was expected of him. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross, one of the most humiliating ways to die. But yet, through his life, he stayed obedient, even was called to something painful and something humiliating. Because Jesus had no limits on his obedience. He never allowed his emotions to be the final authority in his life. That nothing stopped his obedience to his Father. And that is the very heart that we need to have as Christians, or if we desire to be a Christian, is that we are willing to be committed to a life of obedience. A life of obedience to a God who created you, a God who knows you, a God who wants to bless your life, but we need to be committed to obedience. You know, the commands of God are not for our discussion. It's not for our analyzing, not for our examination, not for our selection, our consideration, but for our obedience. To fear God and to keep his commands, that is the whole duty of man. To fear God. That God wants for you to live a life where you fear God, you respect God, you hold God in high regard, you believe that God knows more about life than we do, and that we believe God has commands to bless us, to protect us because he wants to do amazing things in our life. To fear God and keep his commands, that's God's plan for your life. That's his purpose for your life. To fear him, honor him, to keep his commands, when all is said and done, we'll all be judged for how we live our life. We'll all be judged one day for the choices, for how we live or don't live our life. You know, obedience is something that each and every one of us can do. You know, when we obey, God's not expecting for us to be perfect because we will not achieve perfection in this lifetime. But God is calling us to a perfect plan and a perfect standard where we could be obedient to God. Obedience is not something dependent on our talent, not something dependent on our education, not something that's dependent on our wealth. All God wants is a heart that is willing to obey. Because God and his knowledge and his wisdom is 100% right, God offers us security and stability in an insecure and unstable world. And if you're looking to build your life on what is right, secure, stable, build your life on the commands of God. Don't waste time like Solomon did, seeking security from wealth, possessions, seeking popularity, circumstances, achievements, but to fear God and to keep his commands and allow God to fill your life with meaning, purpose, and joy. Amen.